General with CB Financial, and I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. If I doubled your portfolio, that might not change your lifestyle. You'd still be you. However, if I doubled your income, that could make a significant impact on your retirement. So whether you're retired or you want to see how soon that can happen, give us a call to set up a free, no obligation visit. You can reach us at 620-208-6777. That's 620-208-6777. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial.
KVOA News Time is 8:47. Newsmaker 2 time here this Tuesday morning, and we're pleased to have with us Lyon County Emergency Management Director Jared Fell.
Jared, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jared.
Yes, how are you doing?
We're doing all right so far. I'm going to ask how the last week, the 2 weeks, has been here for you, because listening to the scanner, it seems like fire crews really north and south of Emporia, in Emporia, they've been scattered pretty much scattershot across the county, hopping around getting grass fires handled.
Yeah, so it's been busy, as we expect in April. I know our rural fire departments have been extremely busy. We've had some very large fires, and most of those are either just not enough resources, the cause would be not enough resources to put the fire out by the person that's lit the fire, or rekindles. So far, I haven't been notified of it, property damage, but we've had some pretty large fires here over the last week. I think we had somewhere probably around 100 burns in the last 3 days or so, at least by the map, and then substantially more within the last 7 days.
If memory serves me correctly, two of those really large-scale ones happened up around the Bushong area. That was, 380 and C, a couple of big fires over 1,000 acres each. And I think yesterday there was the one at 56 and C, which was, I think, in the neighborhood of, well, I'm going to say several hundred, but I'm not exactly sure on the acreage size of things. That one was, to me, pretty notable because it seemed like every North Lyon County Fire Department, plus some from neighboring counties, were involved with that. And I want to loop back to your point about resources in a second, but I wanted to start our conversation just kind of with the coordination side of things and just how to get a fire like that with everybody involved in the right spots or out of the wrong spots when it comes to getting those fires put out.
Yeah, so our rural fire departments work together, and on many, they have auto aid agreements, especially with the high fire danger days that we've had. The goal is to get those fires put out immediately, as quickly as possible, and throw a lot of resources at those to get the fire out versus waiting to determine maybe it's beyond the capability of one department and any mutual aid. So they've done a fantastic job using that auto aid system, working together and getting all the resources that they have on top of that fire and put water on that fire as soon as possible. It's a lot of coordination. It's a lot of resources to be there all at once and to manage that, but they do a very good job in doing so.
So have you any idea how the burn registrations have gone? Jared, is everybody pretty much letting you know that the burn's going to be happening?
So it's all I can tell you is who does report, right? I don't have a really good idea of who doesn't report, to be honest. But from looking at the map and the use of the online reporting, I think the Lyon County citizens and those people burning in Lyon County are embracing it. I haven't heard of a lot of issues. Of course, you can still call the non-emergency number and report your burn, and then a communications officer will just go ahead and type that in for you. But I think a lot of people are utilizing the online process. So we're happy with that, and it helps us keep track of what that looks like. I'm looking at the map right now, and I can see the fires that have been extinguished over the last 3 days and the ones that still show as active.
And speaking of that, it's just another friendly reminder that those burn permits, regardless of whether you call them in or whether you use that new online portal, you need that in order to legally burn.
Yeah, that is a county resolution. We no longer issue permits per se. You just follow this process.
Okay. Jared, I wanted to loop back to the point that you made, because I know in a lot of cases now with our news stories, we're pushing, when we have a burn period like what we're going to have, where the very high to critical fire danger for Wednesday, Thursday specifically, maybe into Friday, and even with some storms in the picture Friday night into Saturday, we're pushing rekindle. So make sure that that landowners do some double checking or maybe even triple checking to make sure that they have the initial fires out before the fire danger really revs up again. But you brought up the point here about resources, and that's something we really haven't hit on that much over the last few years. Talk about the resources that, in general terms, that you need. And again, this I know is just a friendly reminder for folks, but the resources that you need to have available in order to at least slow down, if not stop a fire, if it winds up getting out of control.
Yeah, so it's just for somebody that's burning, they need to have reasonable resources to keep that fire under control, which is much different if you're burning, you know, an acre or so versus burning 160 or hundreds of acres. You know, we have in our rural communities, we have people that typically will work together. Our farmers and ranchers will work together, and they'll burn sections off at a time. And they'll have, you know, the ATVs with water on them. They'll have those resources. A lot of times what we see are the people that are just burning their 10 acres or 9 acres, a small parcel, and they may not have those resources to put that out. And then you also have Mother Nature, the wind shifts. I think burning can be a scary time of the year. Burn season can be a scary time of the year, just because Mother Nature can change very quickly, and when that wind shifts, it can put property and lives in danger. So we just say you own that fire until it's out.
Well, and we live in it. Yeah, go ahead, Jared.
No, just want to make sure that people understand that once you start that, you own that until it's out. So if you think you need more resources before you light the match, get those resources ahead of time.
You know, we live in an area where, you know, burns happen annually. That's just part of life here in the Flint Hills area. So we have, for the most part, these are experienced burn professionals, really, out there that take care of their property.
Well said.
And want to make sure that they're doing all they can to make everybody obviously safe and not hurt anything structurally, too. But this has been going on forever here in the Flint Hills, so a lot of people know exactly what they're doing. But given Mother Nature and those circumstances, it can certainly make things difficult even to the most experienced burner out there with these pasture acres. And we have had some red flag warnings and some high fire danger days out there. Jared, do you see people adhering to the seriousness of these weather days for burning?
Yeah, I think so. I think for the most part, people are cognizant and aware of those high fire dangers, those days when the wind's very active. I think more than anything, our concern is it's beautiful out today. You start your property on fire, you have a large burn, and then tomorrow the wind's going to pick up, or in 6 hours the wind's going to pick up. And we just want to make sure that you get that fire extinguished so that those rekindles don't happen, because those can have a huge impact. It can take a lot of resources to put those fires out.
And kind of looping back to one of the early points that you made here in our interview, and specifically on the fire department / county interactive agreements and the interlocal agreements that are in place, that represents a lot of work well before, you know, months and years before. That's one of those things that you just simply can't call day of and say, hey, look, we need some help, and then see how things go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. We have this particular time of the year, we don't have those meetings until the fires, until burn season's over, but we have meetings throughout the year with all of our rural fire chiefs, sitting down, talking about processes, procedures, and agreements, resources that are available. And so it's a very coordinated effort amongst all the rural fire chiefs and emergency management, and our law enforcement partners play a large role in that too.
Well said. Well, Jared, for folks that don't know how to get those burn permits online, how do they do that? And again, what are the processes for folks that may not be all that tech savvy or would prefer to make the phone call?
You can go to www.lyoncounty911.org. And then under services, you would go to burn procedure, or you can go to lyoncounty.org, and you'll see right in the middle of the page, it says click here to report a burn, and it takes you to the other page. So there's a lot of ways that you can access it, And then if you don't have access to that, you can always contact the Lyon County Emergency Communications Center on their non-emergency number, and they would be happy to help you out as well.
Good information as always. Jared, thanks.
Thanks, Jared.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Good to talk to you, as always.
Absolutely. Jared Fell joining us for the Newsmaker 2 spot here today. Want to let you know that our Newsmaker 2s are full here for the rest of the week, and tomorrow we'll be talking.